Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Time to welcome some new takes.
Right this way.
To Bad Take Boulevard.
If only there was something in your head to control the things you say.
It's the dumbest argument ever.
With the Killer Bees.
Can I just say that I'm an idiot for listening to you?
I got some, I had some bad takes yesterday that I heard while I was in my, somebody was driving me around and paint, like, you know, I'm going to try to extract the most paint I possibly can with Branham, so put it on the highway to hell. Maybe you can put these in a play-in edition, or maybe they'll have to be in the 2023-2024 bracket. But those dudes over there were trying to give Casario a free pass on the whole Brandon Cooks thing, trying to blame it all on Jack Easterby. Like, Nick Casario had nothing to do how Nick Casario lost so much value with Brandon Cooks. Because last time I checked, Jack Easterby was fired before the NFL trade deadline this past year, right? Mm-hmm. We agree that the Texans probably lost value by not trading Brandon Cooks at the deadline versus trading him over the weekend.
There were multiple times they could have traded him.
Yeah.
Yeah, leading up to
but
what they did this
the
last
The only
weekend.
Time that they could post Easterby was this year's deadline. They could have traded him last offseason, yes. But Easterby was still around. They yes. could have traded him 2 deadlines ago, but Easterby
them.
Was still around. Didn't have to extend him, but Easterby was still around. The only time that they had, like, the trade window, if you will, to trade Cooks when Easterby was no longer a part of the organization was this past deadline. But those dudes over there on the highway to hell were acting like Jack Easterby was the reason for Brandon Cooks' failure for the Houston Texans. It's like, bro, they could have traded him this past deadline. Stop giving Nick Casario a free pass.
Look, man, I'm a badass, and I'm going to tell you right now, this the only thing you should listen to is what I tell you is the law. It is gospel. And if I said that he is Jack's fault and it ain't Nick, you listen to me and drink some milk.
I admire the effort. I'm not sure.
It's not your best.
I'm not sure it's your best. I admire the effort. I really do. I respect the heck out of it. But comparing it to some of the other impersonations, which are spot on with Cal McNair.
What's the one that hurt you the other day?
John McClane.
John McClane's a really good one.
I was almost vocally paralyzed for a segment after John McClane.
Yeah.
Guys, I've been trying to tell you for about 15
We got a lot
days.
Of talking to do. We still have an hour left in the show. You cannot lose your voice.
Your Cal is great. He immediately goes to the water. Your McClane is great. I'm not sure.
I did it in a short dose. It didn't hurt as much.
Your BTBA was outstanding.
The bite
but I do
town,
admire.
Whatever.
I do admire the effort. Really good effort. All right, let's continue on with our Bad Take Boulevard.
So here's the deal.
Bad Take bracket.
Oh,
math is hard.
Here's our bracketologist.
You're from Chicago. The
here's
North
our
side.
Bracketologist and analytics guy.
I told you the other day it's because you're from Chicago.
On the third, on National Championship Monday, we will crown our Bad Take Boulevard champion.
When?
On the third.
Okay.
But the problem is we have a lot of matchups left.
Okay.
So we're going to have to rapid fire some of these.
Let's go. How many we got today?
So today we're going to do 3.
Ooh. All right. Let's do one this segment, and we'll do 2 next segment.
All right. So the first one we're going to do, our last ones for this first opening round.
Oh, we got second round matchups today?
We're going to do some second round matchups today. So we're going to quickly go through this last opening round, and then we're going to get into the second round today.
Sense.
So the 3 seed, Desmond Howard, picked Texas A&M to win the College Football National Championship before the season. The 14 seed, he's going against Jim Irsay, openly gloating on Twitter about making the right decision about hiring Jeff Saturday after they beat the Raiders.
So
I was right there with him.
I think that this is easy for me, that Desmond Howard wins in a landslide because it was so preposterous at the time, and it became more preposterous with everything that A&M did.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Irsay has a lot of influences in his life and has said a lot of dumb things. So I think that you take it with a grain of salt with Irsay, where you're like, okay, I get it. He's trying to salvage the season, fire up the fan base, and he may just believe it too. But I think that kind of discredits how bad of a take it is. I think I go Desmond with this.
I think that's an easy.
Yeah.
Here's where I stand with Irsay. Like, was Irsay
under the influence when he tweeted this?
See, I didn't want to say that, but that's what I'm talking about.
I'll say it.
That's a great point.
Assuming?
Would he spend? He might. Albert Pujols would.
Brett Favre would.
Irsay, yeah. Ursay was reportedly, what, in Josh McDaniels' bathroom for an hour whenever they were interviewing with him, and that's the reason that McDaniels pulled out of the Colts offers, because his wife's like, yeah, you're not working for that guy, which I understand, even though I don't love Josh McDaniels.
Maybe he had Mexican food last night.
An hour?
That's one of those things,
though. Some people are longtime sitters.
That's one of those things, though, where you, like, apologize for it. Like, hey, I know this happened. Just
one that little bubble guy. Boy, those things hit me hard.
Here, like, I don't think the Colts fell because of Jeff Saturday, though. Like, they were already a
bad
team.
No, but
you can't
brag about it because everyone thought it was a terrible hire and you beat the Vegas Raiders. No,
I understand, but just talking through this here a bit. Like, the reason the Colts struggled down the stretch, because the Colts roster was so depleted by the time Jeff Saturday took over, and they fired Frank Reich before they hired Jeff Saturday, and Frank Reich got a job immediately. So it was the roster. It was the injuries. Everything
injuries
was going bad.
Sure,
so I'm not going to sit here and say that Jeff Saturday's a bad head coach. We have no idea. But because of what he did with the Colts last year is going to, like, define who he is as a head coach, that's incredibly unfair. Now, the gloating about hiring Jeff Saturday after he won a game, and I think they lost every single game
after that.
Yes.
But you know we're all prisoners of the moment,
including the last
too.
One.
But if they're as bad as they...
They'll build a statue of Saturday for that.
If they're as bad as they were, and they were struggling as much as they were all season, we're all prisoners of the moment where he's trying to capitalize on, we got to win! I mean, at least for 1 week and for one game and for one moment, it looks like we did the right thing. This is a good thing.
Yeah, and they were mocking him, too. I mean, they were mocking him openly. And it's like, okay, you were mocking me, and look what happened. We won. It's just they lost every game down the stretch. As far as the Desmond Howard thing, like, he was probably one of the few that was predicting Texas A&M to win the national championship. But a lot of people thought Texas A&M was going to be a contender in the SEC. A lot of people thought that Jimbo had a roster that was going to rival Alabama. Remember the whole stuff that happened in the offseason with the recruiting?
Sure,
Jimbo
and
Saban were taking shots at each other. A&M was supposed to be really good. So,
but quarterback?
Yeah, there was the questions about Haynes King.
I will say, I feel like I kind of didn't do enough for Desmond Howard here. I didn't want to just completely bury him.
This is his entire Final Four.
Texas A&M versus Pittsburgh. Baylor versus Michigan, Texas A&M beating Michigan. No Georgia, no Bama, and Pittsburgh.
And he plays
with
the,
Keaton Slovis.
And he plays the hometown
was
guard.
This 2 years
and throws
ago
in Michigan.
No, this was
when
this
he
year.
Had Kenny Pickett.
Nope.
Two
no,
years ago?
This was after Pickett.
This is the Keaton Slovis led Pittsburgh.
Michigan beat Ohio State.
I mean, Michigan got it. He got 1 of 4 correct.
That's pretty bad. I think the easy answer here is Desmond Howard.
Yeah, it is.
713-780-ESPN. Well, who should advance in our bad take bracket? Desmond Howard with his atrocious Final Four, which ended with Texas A&M winning the national championship, or Jim Irsay making the right decision, publicly gloating about making the right decision after Jeff Saturday won his first game and then didn't win another game down the stretch. 713-780-ESPN.
Can Jeff Saturday go back to ESPN this year?
Can he?
I don't think they've hired him yet back.
Why couldn't
they? I don't think they have either. And I don't know if that's like, does the contract get canceled when he gets hired as the interim?
No, he could be on there tomorrow.
He'd have to sign a new contract.
With ESPN?
Yeah.
He should. Yeah, I think he's good enough that he should.
But like Mike Mayock has never appeared again.
No.
I really thought he would be back on the NFL Network immediately, but he might have done so much damage to his reputation that...
See, I thought he was great.
He was good
on draft coverage.
I
thought so, too.
Analyzing draft prospects. Yeah,
name one Raiders player he selected correctly.
No, I know that. He was
bad
as
a GM. How much of that was Gruden, too?
No, I know, but but how do you put that guy in your coverage with how bad it went in Vegas? That's tough.
I still think his previous job is different than what he was doing to where I think he was good enough because he could say Gruden was influencing everything I do.
It's not about being right, though. It's about being good and being, like, entertaining.
But to Joe's point, he's not analyzing talent.
But to us, it is. But not to the average fan who knows who Mike Mayock failed with the Raiders.
Mel Kiper's failed all the time. And Mel Kiper's an ugly man.
But it's different.
So, like, why is he on television?
But what about Mike Tannenbaum? Mike Tannenbaum, he's been a general manager a couple places, right? So now you go from being a draft analyst to being just an analyst in the studio because you've been a general manager before.
That's
there should be a job for Mike Mayock.
Is Mike Tannenbaum...
I agree.
Is Mike Tannenbaum worse as a general manager or worse as an on-air talent?
His takes are bad. We could probably do a 16-seed Mike Tannenbaum bracket.
Did you get him on for us?
Yeah.
No.
We got him on.
Yeah, that was before me.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I thought it was with you.
Yeah, I thought it was with you, too.
No, I've never booked Mike.
He wasn't
life.
Exactly dialed in.
Oh. He wanted to be anywhere else.
Yeah.
I don't like Tannenbaum on air, though. Like, even aside from being on
down.
With us. I don't like Tannenbaum
don't
on air.
I don't mind him on TV.
Really? I'm not a fan at all.
I think he can sometimes give you some insight from a general manager's perspective that you're not getting anywhere else.
But to Joe's point, like, can you take him seriously because he was a bad general manager?
In both spots, was he bad? In the Jets and Miami?
I think Tannenbaum was fine.
I think he was, too.
I mean, he took Tunsil. And he signed Brett Favre.
He really went after Brett Favre. Yeah. But, I mean, okay. I think Mayock deserves another chance on TV.
Agreed.
I like Mayock. Maybe we'll give him a chance to be on our draft special on ESPN 97.5.
That's true.
Might not be able to afford him. 713-780.
Well, he's not working.
Well, we already overpaid some voiceover guy, so you never know how much money we got left in the kitty.
That's probably why Mayock's not guy. Working.
Some guy, Georgie. Some guy.
The stinky
stump doing voiceovers now in commercial.
It's not. I'm doing a voiceover.
Yeah.
Because the bullpen will be live from 12 to 3 at Bobcat Teddy's Ice House this Saturday. Myself and Josh Beard.
The bullpen.
Josh Beard.
Yeah, Josh Beard.
He's a regular on the bullpen.
Because
I thought it was producers only.
Carlson's be gallivanting in Vegas.
Oh, that's right. Mm. That's right. Mm. You know who Carlson, what he should be doing whenever he goes to Vegas? He should go make the pose like Caesar at Caesar's Palace. Because they look very similar. Mm. And they're both chiseled out of...
You mean you couldn't get John Belmer?
Stone.
He's working.
RJ?
He's on the Sunday show.
Sean?
Why are you so anti-Josh Beard?
Because it's supposed to be a producer show.
They're all on the Sunday show.
I'm pro-Josh Beard. I'm a little... Like, yeah. He's not a producer. Like, are you making a producer mad?
Did you make enough effort to try and get a producer?
They all have their own show on Sunday.
I don't know
how this could be
received. That's your way of saying no.
This might throw some controversy in the clubhouse.
I think I'll be okay.
I think you're throwing your weight around and trying to overstep your bounds.
All right, Desmond Howard advances. Let's get to some second round matchups of our Bad Take Boulevard Bracket Edition. I thought we had two more.
Yeah, but you said two more.
We got one more play into the second round.
Why didn't you interrupt?
I thought you said we had one more last round.
Exactly. We had one more in the first round.
One more quadrant.
So we have one second rounder?
We're going to do one second rounder and one more first rounder.
Okay. All right. So our last first rounder and our first second rounder next in our Bad Take Bracket Boulevard Edition. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Joe got the TV listings wrong. He said we had one final first-round matchup. We have two first-round matchups and one second-rounder.
It really was your fault.
That's okay.
I'm acknowledging that this is all my fault.
I am too.
We can conclude the second round, or the first round, of the Bad Take Boulevard Bracket, the worst takes from the 2022-23 season. A little disappointed we haven't seen Cody Castuccio. Pop up in Bad Take Boulevard Bracket.
That's one of those things that you'll see more 97.5 personalities in the 2023 or 2023-24 bracket. And I've only been here for like a month.
That's a good point.
So there's only so much I could add from the current roster.
All right, let's get through our final first round Bad Take Boulevard Bracket. What is our seed line here?
All right, our final one in the first round, 6 versus 11. Ken Rosenthal as the sixth seed, saying that firing Joe Girardi won't fix the Phillies' problem. And then they went to the World Series and lost.
Oh, no.
The 11 seed. Grades are fun for people until they get wrong. ESPN collectively graded the Russell Wilson trade as an A for the Broncos and a D-plus for the Seahawks.
You should have been listening to the Killer Bees. We've been off the Russ Wilson train for a long time.
Wow. Ken Rosenthal's bow tie was too tight?
Too tight.
Yikes.
Are we legally able to select ESPN, being that we are, you know, within the umbrella?
Yes, because
that's a very wide-ranging umbrella.
Because I'm going for the 11th seed.
Worldwide
here.
Leader.
You are?
I think that saying Russell Wilson was an A, Seahawks D+, Seahawks made the playoffs, the Broncos would have had the fifth pick in the draft. It's now to the Seahawks. Russell Wilson's awful. You had to fire your coach after one season.
I love the irony of the guy that created the seeds voting for the 11 seed to beat the 6.
What, do you want me to not?
I'm just saying, once upon a time, whenever you were thinking about this,
you want me to vote for the 6?
I'm just saying, you're kind of going back and forth here. Like,
why?
If you created the seed line and you thought that Rosenthal deserved a 6 and ESPN deserved an 11, now you're voting for the 11. You're going back and forth here.
No, I'm not.
You're talking out of both sides of your mouth.
Then I don't get a vote. At least in this round.
The funny thing and the ironic thing was right after Rosenthal said that, or right about the same time, Bryce Harper kind of went along with it being a good move and was saying that they needed this in the locker room. So it's interesting that Rosenthal would have that take, especially when, and can't fix all the problems, when your best player was basically saying, this just fixed a lot of our problems.
What is fixing, though? Is fixing winning at all?
At least getting to the
playoffs. They got to the World Series. They were way out of the playoffs when they fired Girardi.
Yeah, true. They were. They made a hell of a second half run.
So now you're saying how bad of a take it is.
Yeah, it's a bad take.
But you like the 11 is the worst of the two.
Let him go.
Now I'm not voting because you said my seating.
We've shamed him enough.
To go back and forth.
No, I'm saying they're both bad takes.
They are both bad takes. I'm having difficulty with it, too. I think this is a really even matchup. Yeah, it was more like an 8-9.
You're deflecting blame on me.
I am. I'm trying to think about what I want, actually. I'm buying time.
Well, I chose the 11. I don't know if my vote counts right
now. Your vote always counts.
I think at the time, on the surface, everybody thought, from a national perspective, everybody thought this was a win for the Broncos to finally get their quarterback. I don't know that everybody thought that Joe Girardi being fired was a negative.
I don't like rewarding a popular take, though, because it's like, okay, well, yeah, we're just going to do the easy thing and go with a popular take, but then be incredibly wrong. We can't give them points for being popular about it. You know what I mean? Like, I agree that...
I'm just saying, on the surface, it looked like a lot of people, and we talked about it, a lot of people thought that the Broncos and the Seahawks both won in this
game. I remember a lot of people were like, oh, they only give up 2 first-rounders. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like Joe said, one of them turned out to be the 5th
pick. Hope the Jets have to give up 2
first-rounders. This one's tough. No, there's no way. Do you see the latest on that?
I know that there won't, but...
ESPN put together a thing, and they were talking about industry experts saying that he's not worth the day 2 pick.
It's going back and forth between a second and a third, which really is painful.
Yeah, Packers, by the end of the day, are going to get what Brandon Cook's got.
Shut your mouth.
I'm trolling a little bit. This is a tough one for me because I
will say, if you guys want second round matchups, it's time to make a decision.
I'm a fan of the Russell Wilson one because I felt like we were right about it all along. So it's like kind of feels joyous almost to
put a bask in it a little bit.
It's almost like, hey, I got my receipts. I'm going to show you the receipts here and bask in the glory of this take being so bad. Rosenthal is probably looking out for a friend in Joe Girardi.
I don't disagree
with that. At the time. Now, it's such a bad take because the Phillies went on to the World Series. It's tough to eliminate.
I'm personally going Rosenthal because it just turned out to be such a bad take. I mean, they both did, but I think that on the surface, I think that a lot of teams and a lot of times in baseball, you can see a team turn it around with a managerial change. And Ken Rosenthal is a really good baseball guy for the most part. I'm going to go Rosenthal.
I'm going to go ESPN collectively grading the Russell Wilson trade. Yeah, so your vote does still count.
Yeah, it does.
So the 11 seed. Is that the only upset we had?
We had the 9 seed one.
Okay.
But this is the only real upset we have.
The only double-digit seed?
Yeah, the only double-digit seed.
All right, so the first round of bad
take. Can we look at the committee at the end of this?
Yeah, we can reevaluate the committee next year.
Okay.
All right, we'll do our first second-round matchup. The battle of Jake Asman.
Oh, no. We got a Jake Asman versus Jake Asman situation?
Yes.
It's like the lesser of two evils.
The worst of two evils.
Ooh.
The Yankees fans chanting, "We want Houston." They defeated Lovie Smith, saying he expected to be back. That was our 16 seed. Man. The number 8-9 matchup was John Morosi picking the Mariners to win the AL West. And Jake Asman saying he wants to trade Dak Prescott for the number 2 pick. So today's matchup, the Yankees fans chanting, "We want Houston," or Jake Asman saying, "Trade Dak Prescott for the number 2 pick."
And they say committees don't look for matchups.
Yeah, this is a clear matchup.
This was a committee looking for a Jake Asman versus Jake Asman grudge match.
This is what Texas versus Texas A&M was supposed to be versus Texas before Texas A&M choked.
Asman versus Asman. Which of the takes is the worst? These are both horrendous, by the way. Yankees fans chanting, "We won Houston." And what happened in that series?
Yeah, how'd that turn out?
Yeah, how many games did the Yankees win? The Yankees won as many games in that series as I won games in that series.
Was it Barstool Miami that just did this with the Cougs?
Oh, yeah. I didn't want to mention it.
I didn't learn that.
But I'll do it for you. Don't worry.
But trading the number 2 pick for Dak Prescott, I can't get over that. Who would trade the number 2 pick for Dak Prescott?
Jake.
Yeah, you're right. Go watch his YouTube channel if you want to understand why.
Yeah, just make sure he needs to follow.
I asked Jake, I said, what's the reasoning behind this? Go watch my YouTube. No, man, I'm not Laramie Tunsil. I'm not going to watch your YouTube.
Red Weasel's trying to get some coverage, baby.
I'm not going to go watch your YouTube. Do you know what I do?
Fight you.
Like, I have a family. I'm not going to go home and watch the Jake Asman channel. Although I did watch his intro. He has a new intro for the Jake
really
Asman.
It's really sick.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It is pretty good. We should play it 3-7 on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. I hate the idea of trading the number 2 pick for Dak Prescott. I think it is an awful, all-time bad take. But whenever we look back in the history of the Houston Astros, I think that the Yankee fans at Yankee Stadium chanting, "We want Houston," is not only going to be like a take that lasts just a year, I think it's going to live in Astros lore for history. Like, we're never going to forget Yankees fans chanting, "We want Houston, we want Houston," being swept out of the ALCS, Astros win their second title. I think once we get to a few more NFL drafts, I think we'll forget the outrageously bad take of trading number 2 for Dak Prescott.
I think that's the key for me, is the fact that we're doing this from a local perspective and looking at it saying there are some things that will always be that kind of zinger you can get back on Twitter and drill a Yankee fan with. And you know how just like toxic the whole Astros fan, Yankee fan battles have been. The fact that this was Yankees fans who have completely already ticked you off more times than not, coming out with this boisterous chant because this was their year, not only to just get put in their place, but to get swept.
Yeah.
I think it's a more horrific take. I think that wins over the Red Weasel.
It makes me very sad, though, to have the number 2 pick for Dak Prescott being eliminated from this bad take Boulevard bracket. It makes me really sad. Which way are you voting on this, Joe George? You're not voting?
So why are you so quiet all of a sudden? You got a voiceover to do?
He's got people in there talking.
Oh.
All right, so we already voted anyways. Is it a sweep? Give us a thumbs up. Blink twice.
Yeah, it's a sweep. I'm looking for confirmation on this, but did you guys see the photo going around of the gold baseball with the World
the
Series?
The Goldilocks ball?
With the World Series trophy on it that they're going to be selling at Minute Maid?
No.
It says we want Houston on it.
Does it really?
It's going around Twitter.
That can't be real.
I'm hoping it's real.
There's no way that Robert Manfred
is not going to okay this and have the Yankees have a bad look.
The only way that Robert Manfred would do that if it's a commemorative ball and it's a Goldilocks ball and it involves Aaron Judge and the Yankees.
Yeah,
or
so
he
number
gets,
one seed
or Major League Baseball gets a large portion of the profits from that baseball.
Yeah, I don't think that they're doing that.
I don't either.
I think you got there a little bit, Joe George. But number one, Yankee fan saying we want Houston eliminates the upset bid from Jake Asman saying to trade the number 2 pick for Dak Prescott. Really,
it was a competitive game.
I don't like that it's eliminated from the second round. It really felt like it deserved a Final Four. But it is what it is.
Take it up with the committee.
We will. All right, that does it for our Bad Take Boulevard bracket. Yankee fans saying we want Houston advancing to, I guess it would be the Final Four. I guess it would be advancing to the semifinals of our 16-take bracket. All right, let's make mock drafts great again. Daniel Jeremiah Branham with Mock Draft 3.0. Who does he have the Texans taking? We'll do the exercise. Who do we take at number 12? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
3780 says, how long ago did you plan this bracket game? Because Jake's take about Dak Prescott seems like an effort to win this.
Wow.
That's a good line. 5357, we want Houston should be in Cooperstown. I like the idea of that.
I do too.
It should be.
I think that's got a chance to take it all, the whole thing.
Daniel Jeremiah. Yeah, I think so too. It's a strong one. Good job of the committee. Good job of the selection committee.
Yeah.
A strong one seed there.
Yeah, at least I got something right.
Yeah, you did. Daniel Jeremiah is out with his latest and greatest mock draft. This is Mock Draft 3.0 for Daniel Jeremiah. He and Lance Erlein are BFFs. Really good friends, those two. And
DJ,
that's what they call him. That's what Joe calls.
That's what everyone calls him.
Have you ever met Daniel Jeremiah?
That's what everyone calls.
Can you call
him?
He didn't answer that. Did you notice how quickly he didn't answer that?
Yeah,
I'm sure I have it.
Can you call somebody by their initials if you've never met them?
No.
Yes.
I don't know.
I think it depends on like if it's a football player or something, right?
Like if they go by Daniel Jeremiah, I don't think you can call him DJ. Now, if it's like BJ Armstrong, his name's BJ.
Right, right.
Every time you're on a platform, people call you DJ, then people are going to start calling you that, right? Like every time he's on a podcast,
but
everyone calls him DJ.
But if we had Daniel Jeremiah on the show, I don't think Jeremy or myself are going to call him DJ.
Yeah. No, I said it and it was a slip of the tongue.
Oh, just because you've...
Yeah, if you had him on the weekend show, you might say DJ right off the top.
I wouldn't have him on the weekend show because the disaster that would cause for this one was not worth it.
Yeah, you get a lot of grief for that.
Oh, yeah.
You get Jeremiah for the
No guests allowed on the weekend shows. The only guests allowed are hosts.
Hey, Sean Mapes, what are you doing at 12:30 on Saturday? We need you on as a guest.
I meant like you, Jeremy. You too, Joel.
Let's get to the Daniel Jeremiah.
I can't
Jeremiah
wait to have all the other things I have to do on that draft show.
Daniel Jeremiah, with his first overall pick, selects Bryce Young to go to Carolina. Do we think that Bryce Young's going to be the number one pick of the draft?
No.
You don't think so?
I don't.
Really?
I don't.
I think Bryce Young's going to be the number one pick of the draft.
I don't either.
You don't either?
I'm with Joel.
What? I think that when you hear the initial rumblings from the people on the inside that they were deciding between Richardson and Stroud. Mm-hmm. I think that the only reason that suddenly, almost really kind of abruptly, they threw Bryce Young's name into the discussion a couple days ago was the fact that they got to put up smoke screens. They got to get people to believe, you know, so that the market is wide open for whoever's trying to, you know, move and maneuver wherever they're trying to maneuver. And so everything's on the table, especially the Texans.
Yeah.
I don't think only the Texans, actually. You're probably right. I don't think that they're considering Bryce Young.
Man, okay. All right. So he has Bryce Young go number one to Carolina. So he's off the board. Bryce Young, number one on Carolina. The Houston Texans are sitting on the clock at number two. If Bryce Young's gone at number one, what do you want the Texans to do it to?
CJ Stroud.
No doubt about it?
Yeah.
You're the same way?
Yeah, I am.
No doubt.
Man, yep. I'm not. I take two options before CJ Stroud. Take Will Anderson or I trade down. Those are the two. I do both of those before CJ Stroud.
I'm a Stroud believer, so I think I'm good. I'm very good with Stroud.
I saw a stat today that looked at pressure percentage basically for CJ Stroud, and CJ Stroud basically had a clean pocket his entire life.
Of course he did.
Like that scares me. He's faced very little adversity as a college quarterback. That terrifies me.
I liked what I saw. Again, small sample size. I liked what I saw in the semifinal. Yeah. I like that I saw a lot that I really was questioning about him, but I think that you know, I need to see more. So, you know, as we were talking about this, I said he's starting to win me over a little bit more on a daily basis, that maybe there is more talent there than I've seen. Maybe that there isn't as many question marks as I thought. And he has size, and he has athleticism. So I look at it and say they are so quarterback desperate. And when I hear Lance say, look, he firmly believes no matter what they do they're going quarterback at two.
Yeah.
Then I think that whoever is there on the board at two between those two guys, Young and Stroud, they're taking whoever's left.
I'm terrified of CJ Stroud in the NFL.
And that's fair.
The Georgia game, I agree with you. That's when he looked like his best in terms of like a pro evaluation. I thought he looked like Deshaun Watson in that game. I thought he looked like Deshaun Watson to me, somebody who is like not a 4.4 40 guy, but fast enough, elusive enough, quick enough, going to beat you in the pocket, can make some plays out of the pocket as well. That's the best he's looked. But all the luxuries. Yeah, I need to go back and watch the Michigan game. I haven't watched that one that closely.
Yeah, I thought he was, just from what I remember, I thought he was pretty good in the Michigan game. I know they didn't end up winning that game.
Second half,
obviously,
he was not great, if I recall.
But I like Stroud, and it really, to me, is whatever led up to that Georgia game and whatever changed, like there's enough there in that game along with everything else that's why I feel confident with Stroud.
I think this is just like Fields in the semifinal the year before.
Yeah.
I think that there were question marks and all of a sudden his toughness was not questioned.
How has that worked out Chicago?
Well, ask Joe. All I'm saying is I still believe that he's going to be fine.
All right.
And I think that he really proved himself by doing what he did the way he did in the semi. And I think that Stroud did a lot to put a lot of things to rest.
I'm not going
to
have a great taste in my mouth if CJ Stroud is the Houston Texans pick on April 27th. And I have a bad taste in my mouth just hearing about it. Anyways, CJ Stroud goes number two to the Texans, according to Daniel Jeremiah. Will Anderson is off the board at number three. He goes to Arizona. The fourth pick is Anthony Richardson to the Colts, which I can understand the Anthony Richardson, Shane Steichen thing with what Shane Steichen did with Jalen Hurts. So Richardson goes number four to the Colts, although good luck with a guy who completes 53% of passes.
That means they
got to
bring in a veteran for next year, right?
Well, they signed Gardner Minshew.
There you go.
Well, there you
Gardner
go.
Mania, Minshew Mania. He has Jalen Carter falling all the way to number 5. So not a whole lot of damage done for Jalen Carter. Seattle takes Jalen Carter at number 5. Will Levis slips in his draft. Will Levis goes all the way, I believe, to number 19. Yep, 19 to Tampa Bay, which is the lowest I've ever seen. Will Levis in a mock draft since the end of the college football season. And Bijan Robinson he has going to the Patriots at 14. So that's interesting. All right, so C.J. Stroud is the Houston Texans pick in Daniel Jeremiah's mock draft 3.0. We've been playing the exercise. We look at those four picks, 12, 13, 14, 15, put ourselves in Nick Caserio's shoes, and who would we draft at number 12 given those four options? Daniel Jeremiah has the Texans at 12 taking Miles Murphy from Clemson. He has the Jets at 13 taking Nolan Smith from Georgia. He has the Patriots, just mentioned, at 14 taking Bijan Robinson from Texas. And at 15, he has the Green Bay Packers taking Paris Johnson Jr. from Ohio State. So you get the option here of two edge guys, a running back and an offensive lineman, tackle specifically. You're in the position of Nick Caserio. You already have drafted C.J. Stroud, number 2. Are you taking Miles Murphy, Nolan Smith, Bijan Robinson, or Paris Johnson Jr.?
I think Paris Johnson Jr. He's
a tackle.
Oh, no. He's not going to tackle, not after what they just did with Tunsil.
No. I thought who Miles Murphy's the edge, Nolan Smith's Miles the edge, Murphy. Bijan Robinson the running back, Paris Johnson.
I think I'll go Miles Murphy because I think that, again, they're not going to go offensive line based on what they just did with Tunsil and everything that they've already done to try and secure the offensive line. And I believe that if they're not going to go receiver or tight end, and that's not one of our options, then I think that they're going to let their head coach get a guy that can help him on his special side of the ball, which is defense. And that's why I think that they would go with a pass rusher.
This one's tough for me because Miles Murphy's more of like he fits the mold of what you look for in an edge guy, especially a four down lineman edge, because Murphy's huge. Murphy's a big man. 6'5", 270, like is athletic enough. He to me seems more like a fit in a four down lineman front that D'Amico Ryans is going to want to run. Whereas Nolan Smith like set all of the athlete records for a defensive end, but he's not that big. Like he ran a sub 4.440, but he's like on one of the smallest defensive ends in this draft. So do the Texans value like the size of a Miles Murphy, or do they value an undersized speed guy on the edge with Nolan Smith? I really don't know the answer to that question. I lean Miles Murphy from Clemson slightly over Nolan Smith from Georgia. Nolan Smith's size concerns me, and I'm not sure that D'Amico Ryans and the Houston Texans are going to want to take somebody at that size at number 12 and play at defensive end.
Well, especially when you think about the D linemen that he had in San Francisco, and they all had size, and the athleticism was still there. But they didn't have to give up at anything because they were dealing with a smaller guy trying to put on too much weight or do things that in at the next level is going to really be on display. He knows the just like we talked about Caserio with quarterbacks. You know D'Amico has a prototypical defensive lineman in mind for his system, and I think that's why that they go the direction of a pass rusher like that.
Where are you at on this, Joe George?
This is hard.
It is a hard one. Are you between those two, Murphy and Smith?
Yeah, because
so we've all ruled out Bijan.
You have Damian Pierce. To me,
and you just signed Singletary.
It's a wasted asset to take a running back at 12. It's total waste. Damian Pierce is good enough to be your running back for the next 3 years. You do not need to waste a draft pick on him. What's crazy though, I think this is how the draft's going to play out. Like I made it clear, Van Ness would be my option at 12 if he was there. I think he'll be gone. Like I think we're going to be there. We're going to be talking on draft night about Murphy and Nolan Smith potentially as the top guys at number 12. I'm going to lean Murphy because it seems like everyone that talks about him is he has tremendous upside that just production wasn't there at Clemson like you want it to be. The 4.39 that Nolan Smith runs is...
Yeah, it's appeasing.
It's appeasing, for sure. Like, but I think the answer is Murphy here.
Yeah, were you unanimous on that?
Yeah, we are.
Huh. I don't know if I like that.
This is where like I wish Dalton Kincaid went to 15. I'd throw out everything we said about tight end earlier and take Dalton Kincaid at 12.
I was just waiting for a tight end to be going to Green Bay in this draft.
To your point, he has Lucas Van Ness going 10. Number 10 to Philadelphia. So perhaps Lucas Van Ness is playing himself out of number 12 area.
Hmm.
He has Jackson Smith and Jigba going number 11, which is pretty early for a wide receiver.
I actually think one of the most interesting parts of his mock is 23.
What's he got there?
Hendon Hooker.
Yeah, I did notice that.
That's really, a little high for Daniel a guy Jeremiah coming off a knee.
It's very, very high. Everyone keeps saying he's going to be ready.
I don't. I just. I know how medical technology has gotten better and better and better. I just don't really.
But he doesn't need to be in that situation,
right? And here's the benefit of taking him in the first round.
Oh, he sits for a year, yeah.
But if you draft him in the first round versus the second round, you get the fifth year. So it's almost like it makes more sense if you're buying stock in Hendon Hooker, yep, especially with the idea to sit for half a season or maybe the full season. It's where now you have that fifth year player option, so you're getting him for that extra year.
And they can finally get rid of Kirk Cousins if they do that.
I think it's possible that people in Minnesota
want that so bad.
I think it's possible he gets drafted in the first round, but I don't expect it that high. Like, I think
you think it's a trade up?
Yeah, I think it's somebody that looks for a quarterback and they trade up like either pick 29, pick 30, pick 31.
Yeah,
and the reason that they're trading up is because they want to acquire that fifth year option,
it's like Lamar.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that Hooker has a good, I don't want to say good, a decent chance of being drafted late first. I think 23 is way too high though. I think he's like 27 or lower.
Yeah, I think it's like the Raiders trading back in.
Yeah, or even like perhaps a trade down. Like, they could trade down from where they're at in the draft. Now, that's a big trade down there.
A lot of people have said Detroit with that
makes sense.
What is it, the 18th pick or whatever they have, that they trade back and they take Hooker.
I wonder if all of a sudden you start having a bunch of teams that are thinking along these lines, though, and then all of a sudden Hooker goes 25th.
Yep.
Because everybody's like trading to that area, that window, and to try to draft Hooker.
The two hot take picks for Detroit, though, are Richardson high, and then groom him with Goff still there.
Mm-hmm. And they have the sixth pick.
Or Bijan.
I don't know.
Again, I don't think it's a smart pick to take a running back that high.
I think they're out on Bijan now. They just paid David Montgomery.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's short term, though. I still think if three years,
$18
million? Still, six a year for a running back, and you know, Bijan's not going to take all the carries immediately. I think Bijan's the guy that they – I think they could trade down.
You need more than one running back. And if they hate Swift, which it seems like they hate Swift.
I'm going to be honest. I still think Bijan's going to fall.
He could fall, but Detroit has two picks.
But you could trade down, too.
They also have two picks. They have 6 and 18. Right. Like, I could see Detroit going into the draft with, like, okay, we'll take Anthony Richardson if he falls to us at 6. If he doesn't, oh, well, we'll take BPA. And then the same thing with 18. We'll love Bijan Robinson at 18, but if he's not there, okay, great, we'll take BPA. Mm-hmm. So they could look at both of those picks as, like, project picks, hoping that they fall there. If they don't, oh, well, you're adding, you know, best player available to a team that was knocking on the playoffs last year. 713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. We had a texter yesterday, Blankers, that said that I talk and you never talk. I want to try to figure out who said this on the text line.
Why didn't
See if we can figure it. It was late in the show.
Oh.
Late in the show. You're probably already packed up. Also, the Texans have added tons of players. Should any of the additions stop them from adding at a singular position? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
All teams covered. No talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
1509. Speaking of running back, will Adrian Peterson be the last high drafted running back that we'll see? What was AP? AP, where did
Saquon Barkley?
That's what I was thinking. I was wondering where Saquon went in relation to Adrian Peterson.
One overall?
Peterson went 7th overall. No, Saquon wasn't 1 overall. I think he was top 5.
He was at least top. I think he was like top 2 or 3.
Peterson was 7th.
Okay.
So Peterson was 7th whenever he got drafted a long, long time ago. Saquon Barkley was the second pick of the 18 draft.
There you go.
So Saquon was the last running back that was drafted really, really high. I don't know what it's going to take for another running back to be drafted that high. I kind of think that those days are gone unless you get a type of a player. Like, Bijan Robinson's kind of close to this. Christian McCaffrey was kind of close to this, but not really. I think it's going to require a running back who's almost Deebo Samuel in college, where he plays running back, gets 15 carries there, is unbelievable. But then he's also capable of being like a wide receiver one, and run real routes, like
more
real
so,
wide receiver routes, not just like check downs out of the backfield.
You think that more so than the skill set of a guy that's just like, looks like a transformational, generational, like Heisman Trophy winner plus, where he's just so hyper dominant, like, you know, Ricky Williams for a year, Herschel Walker back in the day. Guys that just looked like they had the greatest combination of power and speed, mm-hmm, and were just so hyper physical and dominant and athletic that you couldn't pass them up.
I mean, I think Bijan Robinson's the closest to that since Saquon
But he didn't
Barkley.
Really do it in college.
He was, no, not in terms of like statistics and production.
Right.
But I think we look at Bijan Robinson as the best running back prospect since Saquon Barkley.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's going to require a running back that can run a route tree. not just catch the football out of the backfield. Because Bijan Robinson can catch the football out of the backfield. They're saying Bijan Robinson might not even go to the bottom half of the first round. Like, I don't see a running back being taken in the top three without that.
See, I'll tell you what, I don't think you have to have all of the Debo characteristics if the shiftiness and the quickness is there, the side to side, the laterals and stuff.
Uh-huh.
I think if you get a guy that can really tote it between the tackles, but also gives you that, not Barry Sanders, but Barry Sanders-esque combination, I think that could wow enough general managers that you could see a running back in the top 10.
Doesn't that, like, kind of make you shy away from that? Because that means, like, a lot of abuse. Running backs
depends on how you use them too,
right?
And if you complement them, which a lot of teams are doing now with a second running back.
But that's a lot to do for a dude that you're drafting with a top three pick. Like, y'all, we're going to complement him. We're not going to give him the football that much. We're going to protect him. Well, then why you draft him in the top three?
Like, because when he does get touches, I mean, they're chunk yards and big. You know, at any time he could turn a 4 yard and a cloud of dust into a touchdown.
Yeah.
That you consider it. It's obviously a passing game league, and we've seen the value of receivers skyrocket, but I still don't think we're completely done with a running back in the top 10 and maybe higher if you get a guy that just shows like he's the perfect versatile combination.
A lot of people are sending us running backs that were drafted high. Zeke, Fournette, Reggie Bush, blah, 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 blah. Saquon was drafted number 2 in 2018.
How high did Fournette go?
I think... I don't remember off the top of my head.
I don't either.
But remember Fournette was like that dude coming out of college that was like unbelievable. And that really didn't work. I mean, Fournette's had a fine career, but it wasn't in Jacksonville. Like,
no.
He was drafted number 4 in 17, and then Barkley was number 2 in 18. I didn't realize that Fournette and Barkley were that close coming out of college together.
I didn't either.
I thought there was like 2 or 3 years of a gap, not just 1 year.
I don't attribute Saquon's injuries as much to wear and tear and stuff. It's just his body and it's broken down. But I think Saquon still has the possibility to be a dominant running back in this league.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to drafting running back in the first round in the right situation. I think the Philadelphia Eagles with Saquon Barkley with their second pick makes some sense. I think with like a team that's ready to win, it makes some sense. I'm not doing it for a rebuilding team.
So
I'm not
Philly
doing it in the top five. Yeah. I'm much more against paying a running back his second contract than drafting a running back in the first round.
Even Aaron Jones, when I thought it was a huge mistake by Green Bay to give him 12 a year plus, but they felt like they had to because they committed to him and he was making so much progress. He hasn't lived up to it yet, and I don't know that he ever will.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. I don't like drafting running back in the first round. I don't like drafting running back in the first three rounds. But if you ask me which of the two would you rather not do, pay a running back his second contract or draft a running back in the first round, I'd rather not pay a running back his second contract. I'd rather get – like if you get 5 years of a healthy Saquon Barkley, that's going to help you a lot.
Absolutely.
Now, I don't want year 6 through 10 of Saquon Barkley, but I don't mind at
all.
And
he's already come out and said he understands that it's a different market for running backs and he doesn't want to break the bank and reset the market. Mm-hmm. At the same time, though, he's still going to want to get paid as he should.
Yeah.
And someone's probably going to overpay him if the Giants didn't franchise tag.
Like, I think a running back's an overspin drafting him number 20. But if I overspin draft that running back at number 20, I think I'm going to have 5 really good years. Mm-hmm. But then if I pay him like Ezekiel Elliott, all of a sudden year 6 through 10, I'm out on that. Like, I'd rather have an overpay, a really good player in the first 5 years than an overpay and a crappy player in the next 5.
And the one thing's for sure, Zeke's actually changed the market from one way, and that is there's never going to be another owner, general manager combination that thinks it's smart to rework a contract and extend it before it's time with a running back.
Oh, we're done? We can't get to this New York text that said that I talk way more than Blank does? Joe saying no, can't get to it. We'll save it for another day. Yeah, some dude from New York said that I never let you talk. I apologize, Blankers, that I never let you talk. But I never trust anybody from New York. 713-780-ESPN. Call Jake Asman.
They want
him to stop using his burner to text into the Killer Bees. All right, it's going to do it for us. Thanks to Joe George for doing all the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Branham.
See you next week.
We'll talk to you Blankers will talk to you tomorrow.
See you next week.
I'll talk to you next week. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.